Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome everyone to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at the website I said. Mr. Sunday is also a name that I go by. With me is Nick Mason. Mr. Nick Mason.
That's the name I go by.
How are you going?
I'm excellent, thank you, sir.
Sure, that's great. Mm. Do you have any personal news before we get on with this podcast? It's been a big week for movie news.
I went to see the James Bond exhibition.
Yes, you did.
I did, J.O.
Even though you promised we'd go together, you still went.
Yeah, I betrayed you, I think. And again, once again, this is your forum for announcing various betrayals that have happened in your personal life. That's what you do, evidently, in this. It's all a bit of subterfuge, so you can...
But you did. You did text me throughout the day, though,
with pictures of the delightful. You know what? It's supposed to represent the 23 Bond films that have been released, the 23 official ones.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff from Die Another Day, which is the last Pierce Brosnan Bond film, and it's definitely the worst Bond film and potentially the worst film of all time.
Yeah, it's not good in any way. Do you reckon it's the worst Bond film?
Yeah.
It probably is.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't seen them all, but
you've seen that one.
I've seen that one.
You can extrapolate based on the. Paragliding, the one where Bond is trying to escape a giant laser beam fired from space using a paraglider that he's fashioned himself.
Yeah, from a jet drag racer,
and it's all CGI.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, it's actually a really good exhibition.
Yeah.
Golden Gun. I took photos.
You only sent me the Die Another Day photos.
I sent you the robot suit from Die Another Day, the electrical robot suit.
The diamonds from Diamond Face.
The diamonds that end up in Diamond Face's face. Hence getting him the moniker Diamond Face. Why did they create that character and give him any other name than Diamond Face?
I don't know.
Everybody in the world calls him Diamond Face.
Yeah, that's not just us?
No, it's not just us.
Okay.
And then, let's see, there's the Golden Gun. There's the space laser guns from Moonraker.
Oh, that's good.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
There's the mobile phone that he uses to control his BMW. Look at that quality.
That touchscreen mobile phone
amazing.
That he uses.
Amazing. Amazing. Pretty great. And then I got to the end and I was going to send you... Some they were playing Die Another Day on a screen because apparently they
just died
in the last just clips from it in the last room.
Yeah,
and I was going to send you some pictures of that because I know you love it so much.
I do so much.
But then the security guard bailed me up and said, "Hey, stop taking photos." And I said, "Do you mean stop taking photos of that movie that I can see anywhere, like on the internet or on television or anything like that?" The most non-exclusive. I didn't say that, but just the most non-exclusive.
Because you can't reason with the security guard.
He'll just
bash you.
Yeah, you're right.
But you stop taking photos.
Anyway, if you're in Melbourne, go see that because it's actually really great. If you're a fan of Bond or if you're kind of a non-fan of Bond and you just like making snarky comments about
That's probably more us.
Yeah.
We're fans of Bond, aren't we?
I love Bond.
You know, the problem with Die Another Day is aside from it's really bad.
Yes.
It came out the same year, I think, as The Bourne Identity.
Oh.
So it's like, and there were, you know...
That is a stark contrast,
that
is it
sure
not?
Is. And, you know, that kind of then Bourne Identity fashioned what would become whatever Bond is now.
Yes.
People who pull their teeth out.
Yeah, that's...
With acid face.
Oh, there was there. That costume as well.
Raoul Silva.
Yeah, Raoul Silva's costume.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
That's your favourite Bond film, isn't it?
It's not. It's my least favourite. Oh, and here's the Madonna costume from Die Another Day.
Very good.
Madonna's fencing outfit.
Wow.
Pretty great. I wish everyone could see these. But you can't see that movie anymore.
Maybe if you follow Mason on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown, he'll put those things up.
No. Oh, alright, fine. I will.
I got personal news.
Oh, really?
I killed a giant spider this morning. I woke up and there was a giant spider in my room.
Literally nobody's interested in that.
Well...
Like, barely anybody was interested in my James Bond my James Bond tour, but all right, do what you want.
That's my personal news.
Great. Should we get to actual news?
I've got more spider related. I could stretch that story out a bit.
Oh, please do. You killed it. You didn't put it outside. You're a monster.
Well, it was giant, and I sprayed it with a can, and it didn't move. So I'm like, no, I have to squash this giant spider.
You were afraid it was going to retaliate late at night.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It could have wielded a knife. It was enormous. Okay. X-Men. Oh, no, before I get to that. Shia LaBeouf news.
Ah! You know what? We did say that we've had the moratorium, but you know what? It just keeps on rolling.
I know. Look, I only want to touch on this briefly. Two people on Twitter reached out to us.
Oh, should we back up for people who don't
know? Oh, good idea. Yeah, yeah.
Shia LaBeouf stole a comic book storyline
to
create his short film.
Yes.
And then an apology to the creator of that film, of that comic book. His apology ripped off other people's works.
Yes.
And then he did more apologies, all of which were ripped off. Then he claimed that it was all part of some sort of art installation that he created.
Of course, yes.
And then, I don't know, what's he doing now?
And, well,
he claimed that he was going to have produce some sort of art project where people could go into a room and see him or a man who looks like him.
With a bag
over his head.
Yeah.
But it looks physically a bit like him.
Yeah.
And then there were some objects in the room and you could do whatever you want with the objects, like you could slap him with a big fish or something, whatever it was. And so people are like, oh, he's making repentance somehow in an artful way. But it turns out, doesn't it?
Courtesy of Aaron Mitton.
Mm.
Did I say that wrong?
Probably.
Probably. Sorry, Aaron. that it's possibly from an episode of House. Or, courtesy of David, it's a Marina Abramović piece of similar thing where she lined up a whole lot of items and people were allowed to do what she wanted.
That is very, that looks exactly like...
That's it.
That is... It's...
And that scenario turned very, very ugly very quickly as well.
People...
I read the article he sent and it was... It started off, people were like, oh, it's a bit of fun or whatever. And then people just turned on her
and pulled a gun on her.
Yeah, cutting
like
her clothes and poking her with rose thorns and stuff. So, yeah. But, Mason...
Yes?
People in glass houses should not throw stones. And I'll tell you why.
Oh.
You remember that last week we spoke about Indiana Jones and how he doesn't, he's not helpful in his movies. He's just like along for the ride, but most, except for Temple of Doom, things would have played out exactly the same, if not better.
Are we incorrect in that assumption?
Well, no, we are correct in that assumption.
Good.
But apparently, I put that up on Comic Book Movie. First of all, people do not like if you make fun of Indiana Jones. A lot of death threats.
Yep.
A lot of people calling us dickheads.
Fantastic.
That's fine. That's part of the internet.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. But apparently, we were accused of taking it from an episode of The Big Bang Theory, where that same theory
I've literally never seen The Big Bang Theory.
I've seen First of all,
all of you who did that, take off your fedoras and cover your face in shame with them. Because if you were watching that, you can all go to hell. I haven't seen that, but it's reasonable that we've come to the same conclusion.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And it's apparently, though, they also took it from, David Wong? From Cracked.
Oh, from Cracked, okay.
Yeah, he's a Cracked writer. His net real name's Jason Pargin, and he's also on the Cracked podcast quite a bit, which is a good podcast. Everyone should listen to that. They took it from his book. This book is filled with spiders. Seriously, dude, don't touch it.
Should we buy that book?
Yeah, why not?
Let's buy it from Amazon.com.
As
penance.
Penance for stealing. But to be fair, you did say at the start of that thing that this has probably floated on the internet before.
Did I ever?
Yeah. But hey, that being said, maybe we're the Shia LaBeouf this week, Mason.
Oh,
maybe we're the Shia LaBeouf.
Maybe all of us are the Shia LaBeouf. Wow.
So there you go. I don't watch The Big Bang Theory. I've watched about 10, 15 minutes of it, but I reckon probably a month doesn't go by when someone goes to me, do you watch The Big Bang Theory? And I say no, because it's easier than explaining why it's probably the worst show ever made. So I say no, and they go, you should watch it, you'd love it.
Yeah.
And I go, I'll check it out.
It's got lots of references to things that you like.
It's
Flash
a
T-shirt.
Flash T-shirt.
Green Lantern T-shirt.
Will Wheaton's
in it sometimes.
So there you go. If you want to watch a good show that references comics and movies and pop culture, Community is the show to watch.
That's very
watch
true.
Community. Mm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory. Anyway, on to more Charlotte.
Two and a Half Men, though. Boy, back on point.
What a show.
Is that still on? I have no idea.
Ashton Kutcher is the guy now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Because Charlie Sheen does another show for something else. I don't know what. But hey. And he got fired for drugs and being a dickhead or whatever.
Right. He tried to shoot his girlfriend.
That's right,
probably
exactly.
All those things.
Did you see all the X-Men Days of Future Past Empire magazine covers?
I did.
Did you see some of them?
No, I saw all of them.
Did you see all of them?
I think so.
What did you think of them in general? There's two I want to talk about in particular, but in general, what's your vibe? What's your vibe, Mason?
Like my laid-back vibe?
Yeah.
They look pretty good. I would say the standouts are... I would imagine a lot of people are against the Future Sentinel.
Yes, I do want to talk about that. Yep.
But I feel that makes sense.
Yes.
Because...
He's basically... It looks like he's made up of a series of dominoes or something like
that. Or
like
nanotechnology like that. Yeah. I feel that...
Like Die Another Day.
Yeah, exactly. That obviously the first design is going to be based on 1960s technology.
Yes.
And it is going to look more sort of technicolor and comic booky in that way. But they've got to realize that these guys are facing the X-Men. They've got a lot of powers and they've got a lot of, you know, that's not going to pose a lot of a challenge.
You can't just have a solid kind of a robot
that
can stomp around because a lot of things can happen to that.
The artificial intelligence... in this, whatever in the film is going to take over this Sentinel production.
Yeah.
Whether it's Master Mold or whoever.
Yeah.
He's going to need to upgrade that tech to effectively fight the X-Men and defeat them. So,
sure.
Why not nanotechnology? I think it looks great.
All right.
We haven't seen it in motion.
Actually, well, that's
how
I could
look.
I was okay with it. People asked me, like, what do you think? I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's probably a whole lot of stuff in between that we might see, but, you know, it works enough. And we haven't seen it in motion, like you said.
Mm.
So, there you go.
But anyway, I think it looks great.
Cool.
In contrast... I am liking the look of Quicksilver less and less.
Wow, really? Yeah. So you initially really loved it?
I didn't love it at all. I thought it looked dumb, but who cares because it's Quicksilver. It's a Wolverine film.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't matter. Yes, you're right. You're
Wolverine,
right.
McKellen, Patrick Stewart. Until they Professor X him out of the plot.
As they often do.
Yeah.
As they always do. Yeah, what's going on with that Quicksilver outfit?
He's got goggles now.
I know. I mean, I know it's the 70s, so you got to kind of have a retro kind of outfit. But it's not good in any way.
Not at all.
But I think people are really hung up on this character of Quicksilver that nobody seemed to care about before Marvel were interested. And then also X-Men. It's not a major character. It doesn't really matter, but it's a pretty dumb look, isn't it? Realistically.
It really is, yeah. He doesn't even look streamlined. There's a lot of pockets on that jacket.
Would a guy need to wear glasses who can go super fast? I know the Flash doesn't wear glasses because I'm assuming the Flash has kind of like...
He's got a heat shield.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'd have some kind of, I don't know, tough skin or whatever, so if things hit you, you wouldn't explode. Because if you went a certain speed, your skin would just peel off.
Well, exactly,
I'd imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
So his skin would be tough enough that he probably wouldn't need goggles, right? Because otherwise, if it wasn't, he'd just turn inside out like a sausage.
He doesn't have skin on his eyes.
No, but obviously...
He could close his eyes, I guess, but that would...
But it's like Superman being hit with a bullet in the eye and Superman returns.
You would think that the mutation that created the super speed would also... create some sort of protection against moving at that super speed.
Exactly. And it's like having super strength but not invulnerability. So if you hit somebody super hard, your hand wouldn't just bust into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you need the invulnerability to go with super strength.
Yeah.
God, comics are... It's crazy, aren't
it? It's crazy, isn't it? All the things that happen in comics. Anyway, the goggles look dumb. Hopefully he doesn't wear them at all.
I hope he wears them all the time.
I hope he just wears them on top of his head, steampunk style.
People are saying that this has got it. Like, what's Bryan Singer's reluctance to include comic book style suits. Because X-Men First Class leaned towards that. The Wolverine ended with that deleted scene, which is not obviously in the movie, where he's got that comic book style suit.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's going to include the comic book style suits, or do you think we're just not going to see them? And if we're not, what's his problem, man?
Yeah. What's his hang-up? What's his 1970s hang-up, man? I think that we're going to see a few little bits and few little colourful bits and pieces. I think in this kind of, in this X-Men universe... the colourful costumes all belong in the past.
Yeah.
Like, the 60s and 70s were the time for kind of garish outfits and what have you. In the modern day, they're going to look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the future is for serious business. It's not for silly costumes.
You're right. I mean, if they're fighting an apocalyptic wasteland,
they're
not going to wear a bright coloured costume, are they?
No.
Because you'll get killed by that domino man that's stomping about.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's also been confirmed that, you know, the apocalypse follow-up.
Uh-huh.
That Bryan Singer's doing in 2016.
Yes.
That looks like it's moving forward with. Unless this movie completely bombs, which I don't think it will. It's, do you know, it's the second most expensive movie of all time.
Really?
Behind Avatar. Yeah.
Ooh.
A lot riding on this.
Yeah.
I think they've probably gone a bit too big too soon.
Do you have a figure there, or is it?
No. Oh, I think it's about $200 million.
Okay.
That's roughly, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
USD.
Ooh.
Yeah. So basically, in Apocalypse, there was that rumor going around that there was a scene at the end of Days of Future Past where Apocalypse kind of crash lands into Earth and he's an alien and he takes over Magneto for some reason. I can see your face. You look angry. It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing. Bryan Singer's debunked that. But he's saying
invented that? First of all, why are we talking about the post-credit sequence in a film that isn't out yet? First of all. Second of all, that's ridiculous. Who invented the idea that he was an alien that came down from space?
Someone on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I could probably track them down.
Please. Please do.
Then we go into their house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to beat them up.
Good. And basically, he wants to do it like Apocalypse is an ancient mutant and explore the concept of what would people think of mutants before there's science?
Right.
And also, but more than that, what would mutants think of themselves? Do they think they're gods or demons or angels or whatever? So he wants to explore that side of it. So that, assuming that that means that Apocalypse will be an ancient mutant.
I would hope so. That is...
Well, that's his...
That is the whole deal with him, yes.
And he's got goggles.
He's got so many goggles. Just goggles upon goggles.
Do you want a fun fact about Superman Returns?
Yes.
Bryan Singer's come back and said...
Oh, wait, Superman Returns. That's the worst one. All right, fine. Anyway, go ahead.
Bryan Singer, who directed Superman Returns. He needs a win in this X-Men apocalypse. X-Men Days of Future Past, by the way. Mm. Jack the Giant Slayer, Valkyrie, Superman Returns were his last movies before the X-Men movies.
And they've handed him this... second most expensive film of all time.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly people turned on him, though, when he came back to X-Men. Because they're like, even though people liked those X-Men 1 and 2
of the
time.
People very quickly turned on us, though, didn't they? A lot of death threats. A lot of death by bullwhip.
We did make fun of
him. A lot of death by replica bullwhip. Anyway.
What was it? Yeah, so Superman Returns, he said if he had to do it again, he's still not 100% sure why people don't like it, you know, but I could see your quizzical face. I think you know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I think I've said that before. It's fine. He said he would have done it as a reboot, which is all well and good in hindsight. But in the sequel, which kind of fizzled out, he said he didn't get kicked off. It just kind of fizzled out.
Okay.
That he would have featured Darkseid as the villain.
Well, coulda, woulda, shoulda. He can say that now. Like, it's all sour grapes now. Hey, guys, I would have put in the best villain of all time. It's a shame none of you liked it. Shame none of you supported me. Because I would have been great.
Also, he said he didn't cast Henry Cavill. Because he's not enough like Christopher Reeves, which is what he ended up going for.
Yeah.
Brandon Routh, who's now homeless, I believe.
We miss him.
We do. He seemed like a good guy. Neil Marshall, you're familiar with that director. He did The Descent.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He did Centurion.
Didn't say it.
Yes, we did. So one where Michael Fassbender's a Centurion and he's in England or something.
I didn't say it.
Well, I saw it.
Well.
Why haven't you seen it if I've seen it?
It's a really good point. Because it's probably terrible. Is it probably terrible?
It's alright.
There we go.
The Descent's great, though.
Yeah.
And I think he's done some Game of Thrones episodes. I think he did Blackwater, which is a big Game of Thrones episode. But you don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
3 episodes in the first season. No spoilers, please. Don't tweet me spoilers.
Tweet him spoilers. At Wikipedia's Brown.
Oh, good cover.
Anyway, he's going to direct the Constantine pilot.
Okay.
Apparently, also, they're going to make Constantine blonde and British.
Just get Sting, guys. Just get
you can't
Sting.
Get Sting now. Sting's bald now.
Is he?
Yes.
Give him a wig.
Give him
get
a wig.
Get Sting, put him in a wig.
Sting in a wig.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough Constantine news for this week, though, Mason. I don't have anything else.
Well, that's a relief, then. That's serendipity, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The movie Serendipity with John Cusack. The Russo brothers. They're directing Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're apparently back. Marvel are very happy with the direction of the film, apparently. I mean, nobody's seen it yet, so who knows?
Mm.
But that bodes well for the film, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even when World War Z was happening, for example, you could tell because of all the fightings and stuff.
The kerfuffs.
That the director was not going to be back for that movie.
Right.
Even though it turned out okay in the end. But no, that's good news, right?
Yeah.
Or not. I mean, we haven't seen it.
No.
Great news, though.
Pretty good.
Also, Marvel Senior Vice President of Production and Development, Craig Kyle, and one of the writers of Thor the Dark World, whose name I didn't put here by accident, is penning Thor 3.
Okay.
Which is rumoured...
Yes.
...to be Ragnarok.
Oh.
The Ragnarok storyline, which I have not read.
These ones are also far out in the future. It's
Phase 3, so it could be... well, that's right.
Could be anything.
Ragnarok's all, like, about the gods
I
and the
hope
gods, yeah?
It's the storyline where Thor has turned into a frog. And he joins the Pet Avengers. Or maybe it was a frog that was turned into a god. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is there was a Pet Avengers.
I don't think a frog should be a god and wield power. I think that's not going to end well.
You're a fascist.
Has he still got his frog brain?
You know, I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I have a frog brain, so... Memory's not great.
The Ragnarok story, are you familiar with it, though?
Not really. No.
It's basically, I've probably read it after this, I guess. That there are gods of the gods of the Asgardians, and every you know so many millennia, there's a giant war raged on Asgard, which wipes out all of them, and then they all get put back, but their memories are wiped, and then it starts again. So I guess it's like Zion in the Matrix,
right?
thing, which was a Matrix plot point probably in that trilogy. But they wipe out Zion
best
and then it comes back.
Best not to dwell on it.
And that's how the gods fuel themselves and sustain their...
Okay.
And Thor finds out and he's like, this
not
is
on my watch.
He doesn't wear a watch.
Nah. Not on my hat with feathers on it. My winged hat. No, sir.
No way. Gal Gadot news.
Yep.
Now, I know every week you want to know, how do you pronounce Gal Gadot? We got an email from Ezra Swartz. He speaks Hebrew as his second language, and he's got what he claims, and I think he's right, to be the correct pronunciation.
The scoop on that.
It's pronounced Gaul, G-O-L-L, or is that Gaul? Gaul?
Oh, this isn't helping at all.
Gadot, G-O-D-O-T-E.
Oh.
Because the A's are pronounced as in short O's. So it's like Gaul, Gadot.
We could have solved this many weeks ago if we weren't so ignorant.
Why should we, though?
Also, my brain is geared to saying Gal Gadot, so I think I'm going to just keep doing it.
But good for him, though. Thank you, Ezra Swartz, for reaching out to us.
Absolutely.
Also, remember last week how we said, let's do some commentary tracks, only if 4 people contacted us?
Uh-huh.
Exactly 4 people contacted us.
That's not enough.
That's, isn't it?
No.
It might have been 5. I think it might.
Oh, but then that's enough.
One of them was for us to do an Amazing Spider-Man commentary track, but without you seeing it, so we watch it together for the first time.
Oh, okay.
We'll do that in maybe in close to the release of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Are you in?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right. And the other one was Little Women. They want us to watch Little Women in contact.
Okay,
then. Talk about Little Women. I've never seen Little Women, so.
This is going to be a treat.
Well, yeah.
Now they...
Winona Ryder.
They were in an accident, right? And then they shrink down, is that?
Yeah, that's the one,
there's
yeah.
a ray. There's a ray device.
That's exactly it.
Harold Ramis is involved.
Harold Ramis is in it, yes. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. The Turtles!
Hang on, what is the Gal Gadot news?
That's it.
Oh, okay, good.
I thought you'd be interested.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
I'll write it down later.
No, you won't.
I won't.
Turtles.
Gal Gadot forever.
Ninja Turtles news.
Yep.
We're finally seeing the Ninja Turtles, what they're going to look like.
Uh-huh.
In promotional posters that people took pictures
of. So that is
of.
The final... That is the this
Apparently
is the final
so.
Draft.
This is locked in forever.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Not that dumb.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think people are on board with it in general.
People are upset about the lips, I think.
Okay, right.
Or the noses or the
turtles don't
the
have
beaks.
Lips. Don't like, have the, beaks.
Yeah.
I think weren't they upset that they were going to have beaks?
Yep, I think so. Yeah.
Some people are saying they're too muscular. Too jacked.
I say Ninja Turtle can never be too muscular. You know?
You have said that. Yeah. I think there is a bit too much going on in some of those costumes. Like, Donatello's wearing 2 pairs of glasses. Raphael's
got goggles as well.
Yeah, got goggles. Raphael's got a pair of sunglasses on his head, I think.
Surely Michelangelo should have sunglasses on his head.
He does it, but
fluorescent sunglasses.
Yes, he should. But he has, Michelangelo does have a hoodie tied around his waist.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
For partying, right?
For partying.
A party hoodie.
Party hoodie.
Okay, good, yeah. Good, great.
Shredder. There's images of Shredder released. Did you see those as well?
No, I didn't.
It's basically concept art of Shredder or a picture of Shredder. It's hard to tell. It's very blurry. But somebody contacted, an inside source, contacted Nailbiter 111, I believe.
Oh.
The inside
our mate.
Man. That's it.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Nailbiter. And,
he's homeless with Brandon Routh right now.
Yes, yes. Leak activity scoops.
Shouldn't leak the scoops, yeah. Mate.
Basically that, are you familiar with the Utroms?
From
the comics?
Yeah,
they're like the Krangs.
The Krangs, yeah.
If you zoom in on this particular picture of Shredder, it looks like there's something in his abdomen.
Ah,
and this is what the guy said to
because
do.
Because the modern day cartoon incarnation,
yes.
Shredder is an Utrom, right?
And some of the comics, yes.
Okay, interesting.
So it means he could be some kind of Krang-Shredder combination, which I would say is unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Because Krang's only a cartoon thing, isn't he?
Maybe it's Shredder wearing a Krang t-shirt.
It's possible.
Like he was a fan of the cartoon show.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he bought a Krang t-shirt. Or one of those novelty belt buckles that's got a Krang in it. You know? Looks like you got Krang in you.
You made a lot of good points here today, Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
factually correct, morally correct.
What do you like the Utroms?
Yes.
I didn't watch them all back to the 2003 series.
No, did I.
Yeah, but what I've seen of it, it looks better than the one we watched when we were kids.
Yeah.
There's a bit in it as well. It's a bit more violent. Leonardo, decapitates Shredder, not knowing that he's not really Shredder.
Right, uh-huh.
And it's like, Jesus, that's full on.
But that's one of those TV production tropes where somebody is only willing to kill in scenarios where it turned out they couldn't have done any harm. Did you ever watch that British series Robin Hood?
Did I ever?
You did, yeah. There was always, Robin Hood would always shoot to, you know, disarm or what have you.
Mm.
Except, you know, when he'd, he'd show up at the, you know, the council of the villains or whatever, and he'd kill them all, and then it turned out they were all wooden dummies or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
No,
you're right.
You had a lot of opportunities to kill them all prior to this, and you didn't. Why now?
Why not after?
Yeah.
I've said this from a while back. I don't think this movie is going to be as bad as people think it might be.
Yeah.
Michael Bay's not making it. The guy who did... He's producing it. The guy who did Battle LA, which isn't great.
Right.
But
I switched that one off, yeah.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, you never know.
But again, though, as you were saying about the Utroms, I would like to... There's a lot, especially from the 1980s comic book series.
Yeah.
There was a lot of super insane stuff that has never made it.
No.
To, like, the Triceratons.
Yeah.
Like, Triceratops men. And all that sort of stuff. And a lot of, kind of, you know, solar system, galaxy-spanning crazy adventures and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That we saw in a very kiddie way in the cartoon series. Mm. But I would like to see that live action.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
William,
I demand a lot of my movies for children that I'm going to see.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now on to this week's Batman vs. Superman news. I know we said either Shia LaBeouf news or Batman vs. Superman.
But we say a lot of things.
We do say a lot of things. So basically, big news this week.
Yep.
I woke up to this and I'm like, what?
Do we have to adjust our scale of big news here? Or is it actual big news?
It's actual big news.
Okay, good. All right.
I think Jeremy Irons, first of all, is cast as Alfred.
Okay, that works.
Yeah. Have you heard this?
Yes. Yes, I have. Didn't he go crazy recently?
He may have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He might have. I'll look it up later.
Look it up.
I think he's gone crazy.
Use technology. Yeah. Okay. I think he's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking, what's the Bond villain's name who was in The Rocketeer?
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton, which I think would have also been a really good choice. But you can't really go wrong with Jeremy Irons.
Also, I think Timothy Dalton's quite imposing. Like, he's like, I don't know, like 6'4" or something.
Oh, right, okay. So, I didn't know that. Yeah, fair enough. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's too big a presence to be Alfred.
Fair enough.
I mean, Alfred's supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to be a wizened old guy who's got a lot of secrets and
does have
blah,
a lot
blah,
of
blah,
secrets.
But no, I think Timothy Dalton's too big a guy.
Okay, fair enough.
Unless I'm wrong. Maybe they just make him look bigger. Camera adds like a couple of feet. So.
That's true. I also heard Jeremy Irons went crazy a few years ago. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
yeah, good. Good on him. Alfred, great.
Yes.
That's the general consensus.
He's got the accent. That's all we
he
need.
He does. That's all we need. The other thing is, and the internet exploded in a Ben Affleck Batman-esque way, maybe even more so,
ugh,
when it was announced that he was going to be Lex Luthor.
Who's going to be Lex Luthor?
Jesse Eisenberg. Did I say
no,
that?
No, you didn't say it. No,
did
didn't
I not say it?
Here
sorry.
It is.
So what do you think? Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor. Is that justified in any way as a casting decision? Is the internet right, Mason? Or is Jesse Eisenberg right?
You know
Choose
what?
A side!
Oh, God! Too much pressure. You know what? I saw a photo, and I saved it, that somebody made a real quick Photoshop, because people are quick at Photoshops on the internet. It's a Superman-Batman Photoshop, and it's Michael Cera as the Joker, Jonah Hill as the Penguin,
yeah,
and Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. It's a quick photo. It's very quick, and it's, you know, obviously intended as a joke, because the other two look ridiculous. But I think Jesse Eisenberg, if you look at this photo, he actually looks quite good with a bald head.
Yeah, he looks all right.
Lex Luthor-esque, yeah, with that.
I mean, a young Lex Luthor.
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's traditionally, he's a little bit older than Superman, is that right?
Ah.
I mean,
who's to say?
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah.
But he's 30.
Right.
But he looks young.
Mm.
So maybe there'll be some kind of Lionel Luthor, Lex Luthor relationship there.
I don't want a
Lionel
Luthor.
No, I don't
Luthor.
Want either. I
ridiculous.
Want, yeah, look, even though he does look young, I'm hoping they're going to say he's a fully grown, established man who's built this company and whatever. I don't want Luthor Origins
no,
movie. I don't
not,
need
no.
any of that.
No.
Do you think he's too young?
No,
I think we just said that.
You're just reading off your auto cue.
I meant to say, do you think he's too thin? I mean, that is another.
No, again, that's a Christian Bale scenario. If
yeah,
I want
exactly,
him to bulk up,
yeah,
he'll bulk up.
He can bulk up. Yeah. Yeah. Look, I've written here, and I think I said this in my video. It can be fixed with a shaved head. Get rid of his Bon Jovi locks
yep.
that he's got now.
Yeah.
Bulk him up a little bit, and you put on a well-fitting suit.
Uh-huh.
Then,
yeah, I'm okay.
Look,
with
it's
that.
Not the greatest casting decision.
It could be though. He's good in things.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt it at all that he is a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously not. It's not who you. I mean, even with Ben Affleck, you go. Even if you hate Ben Affleck, you go. You can see it.
Right.
This it's a little harder to see.
Have you seen Now You See Me, the
yes.
magician film? That's not a good film, certainly. But he's quite good in that.
I'm not again.
Like,
I'm not saying
as,
he's a bad actor.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not my problem.
Like as far as him being this in the Now You See Me, he's sort of this sort of young genius magician type.
Yeah,
which is not a positive necessarily. But you know, he does have this kind of he's got this arrogance and this he's the smartest guy in the room kind of
yeah.
thing. And I reckon if he turns that up to 11. I reckon there's something there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people make the Heath Ledger Joker comparison.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess, is that really relevant though?
Nah.
I mean, just because you can point to scenarios where this...
I can point to all kinds of things. Don't tell me what I can't point to.
But you can point to scenarios where you're like...
No, I'll point to a scenario. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
That's fine. Where, you know, something like this has worked really well and something like this has worked not so well.
Uh-huh.
I think at this point...
It's a total crapshoot.
We don't... Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like, yelling about it either way makes zero difference. Let's just wait 2 years, more than 2 years, until this comes out, then
no,
we'll know.
Let's yell at people. Let's debate with people on the internet just endlessly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Hey, everyone. I think Jesse Eisenberg would make a great Indiana Jones. How do you like that? Be real good.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go.
That's some news for
you. Can you imagine Jesse Eisenberg in a Lex Luthor battle armor?
Yes.
Can you imagine Jesse Eisenberg in a movie where he invents Facebook?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. He's not a nerd.
People also compare Michael Cera to Jesse Eisenberg. I guess they're similar-ish, but they're not really, though, are they? I mean, they're both kind of skinny guys.
Uh-huh.
And they've got curly hair.
Michael Cera's got spectacular comic timing.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. also true. Yeah.
I'm Jesse Eisenberg, Mike, but we've never seen it. So.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Mm.
Oh, no, he's in that... What's that movie where he's got the bomb strapped to him?
Oh, Now You See Me.
That's it.
I don't know.
It's with the guy from Parks and Rec.
Oh, 30 minutes or less?
30 minutes or less, yeah,
okay.
yeah. He's okay in that, I guess.
Okay, great.
Anyway, make of that what you will.
I will.
Before we move on, Mason.
Years.
I just want to say thank you to those who rate us on iTunes.
Ooh, absolutely.
And we're one step close to achieving our goal of being featured on iTunes.
Your
probably.
Goal. Your goal.
Our goal.
I have no
goal.
You
said you're on board.
But it's not my goal, though, is it? I don't care. Do what you want, internet.
So if people can continue to do that or not do that, that would be great. We really appreciate it.
We do, actually.
I guess
yeah.
this is kind of like the commercial break.
Ooh. Sold out. I mean, we did that months ago. But...
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mason.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes.
We talked about how you were going to talk about RoboCop.
Oh.
And how you know all about RoboCop.
Did I
Good
say
news
those
is,
exact words?
I've been in contact with Sony.
Yes.
And they gave us a couple of free tickets to RoboCop.
So when we review it, please know that we're doing it on somebody else's dime. So if we give it a glowing review.
Yeah.
Then don't believe us.
Well, the thing is as well.
Or
I read
do.
I read
Sony.
The
hey, Sony, if you're listening. going to be great.
I read the ticket that I've got, and it's basically, there's all these, it's like, this is free for whatever, but it also says there's all these things like, no IMAX, no certain type of screen, no certain type of day. So I'm like, I don't even know. We'll probably go in there, like, you can't use this.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You can watch it on a ViewMaster.
Yeah.
We're going to slot the RoboCop reel in, and you just click through, and you've got 5 minutes, and then you leave.
We're going to send you a pirated version from Bali when it's released.
And then, once you watch it, the FBI's going to kick down your door, and you're going to go to jail for 10 years.
Tell me about RoboCop, Mason.
What would you like to know about
RoboCop? First of all, where did this robot cop come from?
Be more specific.
Okay, who invented robot cop?
What are we talking in the story? Are we talking, you're no help. Who's steering this ship? What's going on? Well, I mean, in terms of like the production side of things, like RoboCop is sort of, he's inspired by a lot of sort of Japanese kind of robot cops.
Yes.
Like, he's not the first robot cop on the
Oh my goodness.
Have you ever seen Ape Man?
No.
Sometimes called Ape Man.
Okay.
He's like, there was a Neo Geo game.
All
about
right.
Him. You remember the Neo Geo?
I do. Didn't have one. Weren't they for rich kids?
Yeah, they're for rich kids.
Were you a rich kid?
No, but that was an arcade.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, there's been a lot of Japanese cops killed in the line of duty, resurrected as robots.
So, yeah.
There was like, oh, what's his name? Space Sheriff Gavan, I think, was another. I'm going to Google that, because I reckon I'm right. I've done very little research, but I'm going to look up Space Sheriff.
So what? Frank Miller wrote the original script, is that right?
No.
Or did he write two?
He wrote two and three.
Okay.
We'll get to those. Yeah, RoboCop. In the original, he's Alex Murphy. He's cop died. You know, actually, before I start, having done a small amount of research on this, because I remember all the original properties, and I've seen and read pretty much all of them, but I figured I'd go back and just go over them again just very quickly, like half an hour ago. And people are all out there going like, oh, they've ruined yet another property. They've ruined my childhood / adulthood / action movies are the worst now, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Those people, having watched a lot of more recent RoboCop properties, this is a property that it was on its last legs. This thing was dead. This is a dead horse. You all should be lucky they're rebooting RoboCop, because some of this stuff is just the worst. It's really, you guys, just put a bloody cork in it.
Shut up.
Yeah. Exactly.
That being said, this movie might not be good. There is a possibility. But we'll get to that
another
week.
But again,
how
bad could it be?
How bad could
when
it
compared
be?
To the stuff I'm about to talk about? Space Sheriff Gavan, there
oh
he
my
is.
God, you're right.
He's got a laser sword.
He does. He looks very RoboCop.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Incredibly so.
Mm.
I mean, he's just a guy in Lycra.
Yeah.
Obviously. But anyway, Alex Murphy killed in the line of duty.
Yes.
As a result of OCP, who are the privatized runners of the police department in Old Detroit.
Yeah. Not OmniCorp, or is that the new one?
They're OmniCorp now.
Okay, but right.
Back in the old ones, they were OCP.
Yeah.
And there's too much crime in Detroit. And
is that just
now.
This?
Yeah, just now. Just now, but also back in this fictional past.
Right, yeah.
Which was the future. So OCP takes over the police force in exchange for being able to bulldoze a lot of Detroit and turn it into Delta City. That's kind of the through line of the whole film, is that OCP wants to just... They want to protect the city in a very small way, but they also just want to just flatten it.
Another 80s land grab action movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
You know it is. Anyway, so basically they're like, well, we want to build this RoboCop project.
Yeah.
And so we need a human brain for it. So they kind of...
Because they try just a robot.
And this is one of my favorite parts of RoboCop, is the initial law enforcement robot they create is called Ed 209, and it's like a giant walking tank.
Yeah.
And there's a scene at the start where they get, it's a board meeting, and they just get like a junior executive to pull a gun on this robot to test its arrest mode. And it just riddles him with bullets, like hundreds and hundreds of bullets. And it's super graphic.
So many squibs.
Just, and at the end they're like, hey, somebody call a paramedic, because this guy's... You know what? My first exposure to RoboCop wasn't the films. It was... I saw the films later, but my first exposure to RoboCop was... There was a set of RoboCop 2 trading cards. Like, Topps released the RoboCop 2 trading cards. I'm sure I still have some of them somewhere. You know, it was
let's
like,
give them away on the show.
Oh no, they're mine forever. They were like, they were RoboCop 2 trading cards, but the first like 20 were like a previously on. They were like a recap of the first RoboCop.
Okay, right.
And they were super graphic, like trading cards for children. I don't have the one I wanted to find. I couldn't find, on the internet. And I assumed it would be there because it's the best.
Yeah.
It's called, they all have little names under the, and it's called Man Without a Hand. And it's like a shot of him, of Alex Murphy getting his hand blasted off by the bad guys. And like, it's like a two frame Murphy looking puzzled, standing up looking puzzled.
Yeah.
And the second frame, his arm just being shot off. It's ridiculous. Anyway, here's one that I did find. This is the scene.
It's not the Melty Man one.
Yeah, it's the
it?
Melty Man. It's the scene in RoboCop where the villain is out. A villain's out to kill RoboCop to run him down in a car. RoboCop gets out of the way.
Yeah.
This guy crashes his car into a vat of toxic waste, and it seeps into the car and it melts him, and he wanders around.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying, and that is on a Topps trading card for children. You would get a stick of bubble gum and a fun little decal sticker, and you would get a card with a man whose entire body is melting. It's amazing, right?
What can I Google to find that particular photo?
I just Google RoboCop trading card.
Gotcha.
And just Google image search. Maybe if I turn safe search off.
Because I remember we watched that a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
I'd seen it years prior, but I remember watching that as a full-grown adult and going, that's still horrifying.
Right, so there you go. Kids. It's for you, kids.
All his fingers are melting off as well. You see his fingers like dripping off the bone.
And he gets hit by another car.
Yeah.
It's like a plastic shopping bag, like full of soup. Just getting hit by a wrecking ball. It's amazing.
So basically do they engineer the accident to make him RoboCop, or does he just happen to get gunned down? Because in the new one, it looks like they engineer the car explosion.
It does, doesn't it? It's, well, in the original one, it's sort of, Murphy sort of goes out of his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So I think the idea was they engineer a scenario in which cops get in a lot of dangerous situations and probably die.
Okay.
Like they lower their budgets and etc. In the actual scenario, he's chasing there's a car chase with the bad guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's out of your jurisdiction. And he's like, I'm going to follow him anyway because I'm a cop. I'm a cop on the edge with a sense of duty.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. The first one's incredible.
Yeah.
It's, I think we've mentioned, we've had RoboCop talk before, but as a satire of like corporatization, and just over the top, amazing.
It doesn't get more 80s and awesome than
RoboCop.
Boy,
it does not. No, that's right, yeah.
Do you think it's better than the first Terminator film, if I was to draw such a comparison?
Actually, I would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's,
I mean, they're obviously different things.
I mean, do you think that the first Terminator was supposed to be anything other than, like, a fairly generic, straight-to-video kind of action film? Like, you see a lot of those kind of future cop and maniac cop and all that sort of, those really generic actioners, and you go, well, was the Terminator really all that different?
Look,
the first
I
one?
Think it was definitely bolstered by the fact that, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a reasonably big star then, but he became a bigger star, and hence the Terminator became a bigger movie than maybe what it was intended to be initially.
Mm.
I mean, I think that movie still holds up. I still love Terminator 1. I think it's great. They call it Terminator 1 on the box? I think they do.
They do call it Terminator 1.
But hey, you know.
Terminator 1, maybe it's the best one. Maybe it's just okay. Terminator 2 is better. Brackets.
RoboCop 2, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen RoboCop 2.
What's the deal there? Okay, so what happened was basically Frank Miller wrote the script for RoboCop 2.
Yes.
And
Frank Miller of Sin City and The Dark Knight Returns.
And of Being Crazy.
and of Being Crazy.
A lot of it was rejected.
Yeah.
But a lot of the core concepts sort of remained. We can talk about it later. There is actually a series that released a few years ago called Frank Miller's RoboCop.
Yeah.
It was a comic book series. It was like 9 parts. And it was what his original pitch was for it.
Yeah.
And it contains elements of RoboCop 2 and 3. And it's super crazy violent and a little bit nonsensical.
Yeah.
And it's worth a read. Certainly.
It's worth a read, okay. Yeah. Was it something that Frank Miller actually now, like, recently wrote? Or was it somebody got hold of his script and then made it from that?
They did, yeah.
It's not actually Frank Miller who released this comic.
Oh, no, he did. It's for Dynamite Comics or something like that. Yeah, it's not a...
I'll check it out on Comixology.com.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but what's the story there, though? What's the story of 2? Because he gets shot to shit in the first one.
Yes.
And then he's fine or whatever.
Well, he sort of regains his humanity. RoboCop is one of those films I feel that didn't really need a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because at the end of it, he sort of regains his humanity and we know who he is at the end. He realizes that he's Alex Murphy again and sort of thing. And then back in the second one, they're like, well, how do we make him this soulless robot machine again?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the plot of RoboCop 2, where there's like a cult, there's sort of a vague cult guy called Kane. He's a cult leader, sort of. But he's just, he's a drug lord, but he's also a vague, he's a cult leader, but it's very vague. They never really delve into it.
Okay, so he just does illegal things.
Yeah, he does illegal things.
Gotcha.
And he's this drug lord, and RoboCop goes after him, but of course he gets kind of, they catch him with an electromagnet. I mean, sure, he's not magnetic, but that's not the point. That's not the point at all. They catch him with an electromagnet, they dismantle him, and then in an attempt to rebuild him, there's a sexy lady doctor called Dr. Fax.
Oh.
Two X's. Because it's the future. And she instills him within him like thousands of unnecessary directives.
Okay. Because he's got basically a handful in the first one, doesn't he?
He's got four.
What are those?
Serve the public trust, uphold the law, protect the innocent. And four is you can't kill anybody who works for OCP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Five, RoboCop.
Five, don't stop a RoboCopping.
Okay, cool. So basically, when they put him back together, they put all these new protocols in him.
Yeah.
Does that kind of like scramble his head?
Yeah, and it's sort of designed to make him useless.
Okay.
Like, again, OCP want to take over Detroit. They want to bulldoze it again. And
classic.
So they feel that if RoboCop's useless, all the cops are useless, Detroit's going to default on its payments to OCP, and then they're just going to take over the town.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And how does he overcome his programming?
He electrocutes himself. He sticks his hand in the electrical box. You know how that goes.
They should have had a protocol against that.
Yeah,
that
I know,
would have
right?
saved everybody all that trouble. And is that the one, not to give anything away, that the bad guy turns out to be a certain thing, which is quite clever?
No.
Was that the one the bad guy's the kid?
There is a kid. They're one of the.
Oh, okay. So it's not the main bad guy.
No, though. One of the drug lord's henchmen is a little kid. And RoboCop can't shoot a little kid. That's not one of his prime directives. I guess that's one of his secondary directives. You can't shoot a little kid in cold blood. But that's how they catch him. Because he's like, oh, you can't shoot a kid, can you? And he's like, no. I guess I'll just get caught in this electromagnet.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So RoboCop 2, though, worth watching or not worth watching?
I think it is. It's more insane than the first one. Like, there's a lot of... Hang on, I wrote a note down. Like, there's like... It's super excessive. Like,
yeah.
All the... Like, there's people just, like, robbing a jewelry store, but they got... like a rocket launcher, whatever. There's like a guy, like a yuppie kind of professional suit-wearing guy who robs an old lady, like an old homeless lady. And then like a couple of prostitutes then immediately rob him and then like beat him up. Like it's just this city's become this sort of cartoonish endless chain of like super mugging and violence and just... Like, every street has, like, a burning burning oil drum. And
yeah.
It's,
I'm assuming that it only gets better from here. RoboCop.
It absolutely does not. RoboCop 3. Oh, boy. RoboCop 3 is the Superman 4, where...
Or the Superman 3.
Or the Superman 3. But Superman 4, where the budget is really... The bottom has really fallen out of it.
Yeah.
And they don't have, you know, any... Everything looks cheap and everything... They're really scraping the bottom. And Peter Weller's not in it anymore.
No!
Which, that's the turning point.
Yeah, that's... I mean, he's... I mean, we haven't mentioned him yet, but he's great, isn't he?
He's the... And initially, I understand they were considering Rutger Hauer
okay.
as RoboCop, and there were a couple of other options, but they're kind of huge monsters of men.
Yeah.
And RoboCop, the suit was designed for a kind of a more lithe kind of, more athletic kind of actor.
A skinny guy with a big head.
A skinny guy with a big head, exactly like Peter Weller. You know it. Yeah. But in the, he's the, and again, speaking of this decline of the RoboCop franchise, I think the RoboCop 2, quite enjoyable, insane but enjoyable.
Yep.
The loss of Peter Weller, is, I think, was the first nail in the coffin.
Okay.
And it's been a long coffin nailing scenario because it's been happening for a couple of decades now.
I'm assuming it's a scenario where Peter Weller was just like, "This, I don't like where this is going, I'm bailing."
I think he was doing something else at the time.
Okay.
I think he had another film on. I'm going to look it up.
Another movie where he was a robot cop?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Probably. I think given the options... He was probably like, well, I could do RoboCop 3 or I could do a movie where I'm not continually exhausted and losing weight and just...
And can't pee for hours.
Sweating my organs out, yeah. Yeah.
From what I've seen, the big complaint of the third movie as well is the third guy is not very RoboCop. He doesn't walk very robotic or
Nobody has since then.
In any way. Was that you've said that? Nobody's really nailed it.
Nobody's nailed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody looks like a guy pretending to be a robot. Like, I'll do my robot walk, and then that's what they do, but he's... I don't know.
Something about him.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Weller was in The Naked Lunch, which is the William Burroughs film.
Haven't seen it.
There you go.
Was he wearing a costume?
Not really, no. Just regular clothes.
Good.
Yeah.
Right, so what's RoboCop 3 about?
Okay.
I've seen one clip. I turned on the TV once and it was on at midday and I saw him flying and then the movie ended. And I went, that was fucking weird.
Right. It's pretty much that. No, in RoboCop 3, OCP gets sick of waiting for everyone in Detroit to die. So they just decide to force out slash kill as many people as possible. So they hire like mercenaries. Like they're rehabilitation officers or city rehabilitation officers, I think, or something like that. So they're just called the rehabs. And they're basically just army, like insane mercenaries. And they just force everybody out and like kill anybody who sort of steps in their way and et cetera, et cetera. Under the guise of, we're relocating people to Delta City and it's going to be great. You know,
but they're just killing dudes.
They're killing a lot of dudes.
Which is the RoboCop then, where there's an evil RoboCop?
That comes later. That's one of the TV movies.
Let's get to that. Well,
you know, it's certainly an option we can get to. But yeah, RoboCop 3 is it's a tough one. No, it's the first one that was PG as well.
Yeah, it's not super violent, is it?
One and two, actually,
because the toys were popular and whatever.
Yeah,
at this
one and two, the trading cards certainly were popular.
Sure.
So. 1 and 2 R-rated, I think, and they did quite well.
Yeah.
Like, for R-rated films. They were quite successful, but I guess they were like, well, now we have to broaden our reach.
Yeah.
So let's make a PG.
Yeah.
And it really shows, like, the fact that they make RoboCop, they give him a jetpack, I think is I think that's
great
the
action
cue,
figure, though.
That's the cue they want to make more action figures. Although, I never saw a RoboCop action figure with a jetpack.
That means it didn't exist.
Oh. Yeah. Boo.
Boo indeed.
Boo.
Now, there you go. I guess that's a product of the 90s, I guess. They kind of toned everything down in the 90s, didn't they? I mean, it's the same thing up with Ninja Turtles.
I mean, things got more extreme, certainly. Things got more extreme, but more boring.
Yeah. Mm. But you know what? People are complaining about the new RoboCop. Again, I haven't seen it, but I do have free tickets, so let's talk it up.
Okay.
That's
going to be great.
It's going to be great. That, it's PG. But a PG now is different from a PG in the 80s. You can get away with a little bit more from the PG now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can, I think you can say fuck once.
Oh, okay.
And there's a certain level of violence you can get away with. That's not to say, I mean, I think the new RoboCop will probably benefit from being an R-18 movie. But just because it's R-18 doesn't make something a better movie.
Absolutely
basically.
Not, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So,
but in this case, RoboCop 3 PG, it was the worst.
And then he saves the city because he flies over it at the end.
Yeah, and he fights some Japanese samurai robots.
Ah.
Well, more ninja robots.
More ninja robots.
More ninja robots, yeah.
So what came after RoboCop 3, the best RoboCop?
Boy. There were some highlights. There was RoboCop versus the Terminator, which in Dark Horse Comics kind of the heyday of their verses.
Yeah,
where they versed everybody versus everybody else.
They did verse everybody.
I think it was Frank Miller, maybe. I'm going to look it up. It's a lot of looking up in this episode. Very keen on research now. I love it.
But you were telling me about this the other day, and it sounds like a pretty interesting read that probably I'll never read.
Well, I'm not going to spoil this one.
Yeah.
Because I actually quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
I didn't go back and reread it, but it's great. It's got it had Walt Simonson on the art duties, who was a very sort of a long time Thor artist, and it's sort of this.
He did Ragnarok.
No, not at all. This is 80s Thor. But it's kind of this blocky, stylized kind of artwork.
Yeah.
A lot of detail, and it's kind of, it really does suit RoboCop and the Terminator. So,
right.
You know, but the premise, the basic premise of RoboCop versus the Terminator is that they've set them in the same universe, and the Resistance has determined that what helped create Skynet was the mental engrams from RoboCop.
Right.
And so they feel that, you know, a Resistance fighter goes back in time to kill RoboCop, and then a number of Terminators are sent back in time to kill her and make sure that RoboCop gets plugged into the network.
Gotcha.
And so RoboCop gets sort of thrown into this war, this time war.
Yeah.
And it happens like...
And he's like, I'm just a simple robot cop!
Exactly! I just want to go home to my robo-wife and kids. You know?
Not Frank Miller, or is Frank Miller?
No, it is written by Frank Miller.
There you go. Okay.
I guess interim crazy Frank Miller?
Interim crazy, sure.
I think there's pre-crazy, interim crazy... And current Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Who still produces some good work on occasion.
Yeah, the spirit. I've seen it.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Garbage.
Yeah. Anyway, so and it takes place in the past, which is the RoboCop future, and also the actual future. And it's actually really, really good read. Looks great.
Great.
They based a video game on it.
Yep, which is a good video game.
It's okay. Don't go back though. Video games never hold up. Do.
Unless they're pretty classic.
Yeah.
Sure, kind of simple. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet the graphics are probably really good though. Are you as the Terminator or as the Robot Cop?
Are you the Robot Cop?
Oh, good.
You're Robot Cop.
In the future or the past?
Both. Yeah.
Why wouldn't I go back to this?
Oh, you're right.
Any other RoboCop comics worth reading or worth mentioning?
There's one not worth reading, certainly. There's actually, because I hadn't realized this until recently, there was a sequel to that. Well, not a sequel.
Spiritual sequel?
Yeah, I guess.
Quasi-sequel?
So. Yeah, not really.
Prequel?
A cash-in, I guess.
Sure.
A cash-in on the fond memories of the original RoboCop vs. Terminator. There was Terminator RoboCop, was just called Kill Human. That's the...
Spoiler warning, guys. Sorry to interrupt, but this comic that Mason is going to talk about is amazing in the sense that it's fucking baffling and in its stupidity and awesomeness. It may be worth you reading it yourself. So if you want to do that, skip ahead to... Probably should have checked the timestamp, Mason.
Four minutes.
Skip ahead. Yeah, maybe give it a read. Or don't. Do whatever you want.
It's Thanks. A free country.
It is a free country.
Unless you're in North Korea. How are you listening to this in North Korea?
I don't know.
Good on you, though.
Great work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably use your time more effectively, though.
Back to the podcast. Okay, bye.
Bye.
And okay, it's... I gave it a quick flick just earlier.
Into the bin.
Yeah, into the bin after I read it. And it's like... I don't like to just pay out on something unnecessarily for being really terrible, but it's really terrible. It's like a fan... It's like RoboCop wrote a Terminator fan fiction and inserted himself into it. Because basically what happens is it's the future. It's the Terminator future.
Yep.
And there's one woman left in the world because the Terminators have killed everybody else.
Okay.
More or less.
The same woman from the first one?
No, different one.
Okay.
Anyway... She is on the run from the Terminators, and she just runs into, like, a Skynet museum. It's like all sorts of relics from Skynet's past.
Right.
And she finds, there's, like, an ED-209 robot, and there's some other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And there's RoboCop in a glass case with his gun, right?
Because that's what they do with him.
That's what they do with him, put him in a glass case. But his skin on his face hasn't rotted off.
Hasn't?
It hasn't, even though it's been
okay.
Several decades. Maybe it's vacuum sealed. Anyway, RoboCop gets reactivated and sort of helps her defeat the Terminators that were chasing her. And then his mind is taken over by Skynet briefly. And he kills her. Like, he kills the last human. And he's like, no, what have I done? Kind of thing. And then what he does, and I'm going to spoil it because who cares?
Yeah.
It's really awful. But read it anyway.
It doesn't sound that bad.
It's pretty. Wait for it.
Okay.
He speaks to, like, a Skynet AI thing.
Yeah.
He figures out how time travel works.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back in time. And then we see him first appear in the past at the steel mill. No, actually, at Cyberdyne Systems, where the police are sieging Arnold Schwarzenegger and John Connor and Sarah Connor. Like, he appears in Terminator 2.
Wow.
He appears in Terminator 2, and then he shuts down Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like with a device that's got he hits him with like a taser that's got a virus in it.
Right.
And it shuts him down completely. He becomes completely inert. And then he sort of takes over the Terminator role in Terminator 2. So it's, again, it's like RoboCop wrote his own fanfic.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be great if I was in Terminator 2 and I figured out how to defeat the Terminator because I'm the best and everybody thinks I'm the hero. So he gets in there. And then the helicopter chase happens.
Yeah.
And et cetera. And
how does he kill the T-1000?
Well, what happens is that...
Presumably because he's 80s technology, or not 80s, future technology, he's not even as advanced as that Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
So wouldn't
right.
he be worse?
I don't. But anyway, the point is that it looks like, you know, there's the truck they're in crashes or whatever. It looks like it's curtains for everybody.
And John Connor's cool with this.
No, he's not cool with it
okay,
at all.
Okay, right.
He's Edward Furlong, John Connor, so he's not cool with anything.
He's radical 90s.
He's radical 90s, and he's angry that the Terminator's been shut down.
Yeah.
But anyway, then it looks like it's curtains for the good guys.
Yeah.
Right? But then Dick Jones shows up from RoboCop, like the CEO of OCP. He shows up.
The one who dies at the end of RoboCop.
Yes, but it's past... Dick Jones.
Okay,
right. And then he shows up with like an army of ED-209s that they've built because what happened is RoboCop went back in time 5 years previously and he met Dick Jones and he gave him all the specs for like ED-209 and like all the plans to make OCP a successful company and gave him future info. And he said, "And in exchange, all I want is you to show up at this point in time in the 90s with all these Z-209s and fight the T-1000. But they don't kill him. Like, Robocop knows the future events. Robocop knows that they kill the T-1000 with, like they drop him in a vat. They liquid nitrogen and they drop him in a vat of steel.
Yeah, he would know that.
But
yeah.
They don't do that. They just riddle him with bullets. And they, like, trap him somehow, like, in some sort of secure facility. And then they put John Connor and Sarah Connor on, like, a battleship. And they send him out in the ocean. Because it's hard for Terminators to get him in the ocean.
That's true, because they... Yeah. Swimming is hard.
But then, somehow, the T-1000 escapes, presumably because it's the T-1000.
How long is this comic?
It's like 4 issues, but it seems simultaneously way too long and super lacking in detail. Like, they gloss over a lot. So then, the T-1000 shows up in a helicopter that's hijacked, and it crashes into this battleship, and it goes to fight.
And then, that's the movie Battleship.
Yeah, it's the movie Battleship. So, and then the T-1000 goes and he attempts to find John Connor in his battleship. And then RoboCop...
Who's there?
He's there. He's on the battleship. He traps Dick Jones and John Connor and the T-1000 in, like, a locked room.
Together.
And then the T-1000 decapitates John Connor. And then, you assume it's curtains for everyone. But then RoboCop fills that chamber with acid and he kills them all.
What?
Because that ends the threat of Skynet forever, right? Am I right? It's insane. Even for...
Why did John Connor have to die?
I don't know. I guess he's just like, well, John Connor's over there. I'll lead the T-1000 in the room with the acid.
Yeah.
By putting John Connor in the room with the acid.
But it was also established in Terminator continuity that the war can't be stopped.
Yeah.
There's so many holes in that. There's, I mean, I could go...
But anyway, God. The point is, it's the worst, but maybe do. Maybe I'm a little bit regretful that I've spoiled it for everyone, because maybe you should, you know what, go back during the edit, which you're going to have to do,
yeah,
and just put in a little spoiler and say, hey, this is mental, so read it if you get a chance, but...
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I will do that. It's great. That's amazing.
It's utter nonsense.
Is there any other RoboCop comics that I should read?
There was the Marvel ones, but they don't really...
Okay.
They don't really reach that height of insanity at any point. So I thought about going back and reading a whole bunch of them, but I'm like, why would I?
No, why would you?
And again, there's Frank Miller's RoboCop, which is, it's the combination of all the ideas. Because RoboCop 3 contained a lot of the ideas that were excised from RoboCop 2. Mm-hmm. So the rehabs and kind of some other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's not as entertainingly insane as Kill Human.
Is it called RoboCop versus Terminator Kill Human?
It's called Terminator RoboCop. They switched them around.
Okay.
Kill Human. What does it mean? Who knows?
Well, he kills a human at the start and then he kills a human at the end.
It's actually really
But it should be Kill Humans, I guess.
It should be
I mean, I hate to...
hate to nitpick such a work of art with such plebeians. Anyway, Frank Miller's RoboCop. It's worth it just to have a look and see what could have been.
Yeah.
If they'd let Frank Miller have free reign.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it's crazy Frank Miller.
Yeah.
It's crazy old Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Remember I mentioned that doctor, Dr. Fax?
You did.
Sexy doctor, Dr. Fax.
I remember.
She's got a different name in the comic books, which I can't recall, but they're real, like, Frank Miller's not good at writing women for a lot of reasons.
No, he's not.
And she's like this one-dimensional sex scientist.
Well, that's kind of the problem with... people have with Catwoman in The Dark Knight Returns. That was just like, she's a prostitute.
And most of the female characters characters in Sin City.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Not Dark Knight Returns, year one.
She's just like this kind of leather-clad, low-cut kind of sex scientist. There's a lot of her bending over for no reason. Doing science, I suppose.
Is she actually a sex scientist?
No, she's just a regular scientist.
Okay.
She's one of the brains behind RoboCop 2, who in this case isn't Kane. It's a sort of a speed freak rehab officer.
Right.
Who's like the most psychotic of them all. And they put his brain in the RoboCop 2.
Right. Okay.
And
speed freak as in the drug or as in really fast?
No, he likes drugs.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And then his mind is wiped from the system for whatever, because RoboCop finally defeats him. And then she puts her own brain in RoboCop 2. Because women are the villains, right? Am I right? According to Frank. It's a wild ride, I tell you what.
It sure is. So I guess if we're going to read any, read Frank Miller's read the Terminator versus Robocop one, the first one.
Read Robocop versus the Terminator.
And if you want to read the weirdest fucking thing ever, read Kill Human.
Yeah, boy, do. Absolutely. Any of the rest, take 11. Read the trading cards.
Now, there was a few TV series.
There was.
I know you did a bit of research on this.
Well, I remember, I didn't really recall the TV series.
I remember a few years ago, you're like, look what I've got, the Robocop TV series. You'd got them in at like
No, that's the TV movies. We'll get to those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was excited for those, though. Really, really upset me. But the Robocop, the TV series, I didn't really remember watching many of the episodes.
Was it the guy from 3 who was Robocop? Oh, was it a different guy? I think it was a different guy.
TV actor guy.
Gotcha.
Back in the day, you couldn't cross over. You're either a movie actor or a TV actor.
There was no The Wire.
Mm. So I watched the first episode of the series, and it all came flooding back. And its reviews are not good, let me tell you. And again, it was it was PG, but it was TV PG.
Oh, wow.
So it's...
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. PG.
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. PG, but in the early 90s, like 93, 94.
Yeah.
And it's, again, one of those series where RoboCop he's this lethal enforcer. But for whatever reason, he's decided to go non-lethal all of a sudden.
Is he shooting guns out of hands?
He's shooting guns out of hands. There's a lot of... He has to neutralize a hostage situation, so he goes in there. He'll shoot a candelabra on somebody. Like, he'll shoot a candelabra off a roof and it'll land on somebody, and they'll be like, oh no, I'm trapped, but I'm okay. And then immediately afterwards, he shoots the leg out of a bookcase. Bookcase lands on a guy.
This sounds like Zorro.
It does. It's more, he's more Robot Zorro than anything, yeah. It's, I'll show you a clip later.
How many episodes of this are there?
It's like 22.
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Yeah.
I was very excited to watch some more of them, because they're all on YouTube, but they're all dubbed in Russian.
That's fine.
But then I figure, watch them in Russian, who cares? You know?
Doesn't matter. So, on the back of this, did the TV movies come out? Were they connected?
Now, this was many years later, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so then nothing really happened in the world at all. Until 2001, and you know what happened in 2001.
Right? Do I ever.
Boy.
Yeah.
Never forget RoboCop Prime Directives. The TV miniseries, movie miniseries.
I'm assuming this is all new cast and crew and everything.
It's all new cast. There's a few of the greats involved. Geraint Wyn-Davies, who you might know as the main actor in Forever Night.
Don't know
the
what that is.
The 1980s, 90s vampire TV series.
Don't know.
No, the greatest. Used to be on at 3 a.m.
Oh, wow, okay.
I would tape it every week. If you love a low-budget TV cop show where the main character is a vampire who nobody questions why he can only work at night, and his name's Nick Knight also.
Oh, but is it N-I-T-E?
No, it's K. K-N-I-G.
Oh, well, that, of course.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
You are an idiot. Come on, mate. And Prime Directives is the one where it's like a decade after, I guess, RoboCop 3? I don't know if they... They must have set it after RoboCop 3.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's kind of outmoded and there's no budget there, so he's a little run down.
Sure.
He's kind of, you know, they bring him in for PR exercises and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, and his friend Cable, which is a future name.
It is a future name.
For a second,
I was about to ask if it's the... But it's obviously not. It's obviously not.
And he's killed in the line of duty and he becomes RoboCable.
Fucking hell.
I don't think they use that in the show. I can't even remember.
Okay.
But anyway, the point is that... He's exactly like RoboCop, except he's got a different colour, and he's got two guns.
And they just go and fight crime together?
Or
is it mostly about RoboCable?
Yeah, they sort of fight crime together, and then there's some crazy whack jobs out there that they've got to take care of, and then Cable goes crazy because he can't deal with his inhumanity anymore, you know?
Wow.
It's pretty magical.
That's a lesson in that.
Yeah.
How many of these movies are there?
There's 4, I think. Let me check. There was 4. Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Worth watching?
No. I say that a lot, but in this world where everything's free.
Sure. You know? But, you know, also I think we live in a time where there is so much good TV.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You're right, TV is free, but at the same time, our lives are limited. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Only by our imaginations and time.
Yeah.
And RoboCop.
Mm.
Wow. Is there anything else?
Here's a fact about it, because I've just looked up the Wikipedia page.
Sure.
Okay. So RoboCop is played by this actor Paige Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the fact. That's not the fun fact.
That's a good one, though.
Okay, but he turned down the role of RoboCop in the 90s series.
Okay.
Bad move, but at the same time, great move. Okay, so he's on the shortlist to play it in Prime Directives, right?
Mm-hmm.
He read the 450-page script in one sitting and was so taken by it that he wept.
It can't be that bad,
no,
then.
No, no.
Right?
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay. Mm. Well, I guess I'll check that out or not check that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, there's one other more RoboCop thing, isn't there?
What
the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
There was a lot of... Oh, it's been a very long time.
It's in like a G.I. Joe style.
It was more a G.I. Joe. There was actually two TV series. There was two cartoons, rather.
Right.
Now, the first one, it was a lot of... There was like a villainous scientist who worked in like the police department. He was always trying to get rid of RoboCop because RoboCop was, you know, not cool. And nobody was always like building new mechanical monsters to take on RoboCop. So it was a kid's show.
Yeah.
But again, it's such a weird property.
Yeah.
To become a kid's show. Yeah. Or become anything other than super violent insanity.
I'm trying to think of another, if there are any other examples of anything R-rated which has been eventually become a kid-friendly thing. The closest thing I can think of is Freddy Krueger, I guess. But even then, they're still horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even in Freddy vs. Jason or whatever the last one was.
Yeah, yeah. There was a Highlander.
I was going to say Highlander,
Was that rated R? I don't even remember.
Maybe.
There was it's not
that violent.
No, exactly.
But
no.
Not RoboCop. Highlander also had those tally movies as well, didn't it? In the early 2000s.
There was a TV series, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Endgame?
Oh, that may have gotten a theatre release.
Mm.
In some small places in Eastern Europe.
In Eastern whatever country Christopher Lambert's from.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Lambert. Yeah. Is it Lambert or Lambert?
I would imagine it's Lambert.
Good.
Yeah.
So
Endgame,
French.
Quite good.
All right.
Here's how good the Highlander movies are, in order.
Good.
Endgame.
This is our Highlander podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
This is it.
Endgame, best one. Highlander 4.
Really?
Best one. You know what? Because Highlander 1 is great.
Yeah.
And it sets the tone and it sets the series and it's a fully fledged movie in its own right. And it doesn't need any sequels, which is why they made so many sequels. But for a film that is largely concerned with sword fighting, the sword fighting is not that good.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for
great fight choreography.
Yeah.
Good sword fighting. It's got Duncan MacLeod from the TV series in it. It's
Duncan MacLeod, good.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Highlander 1.
Yeah.
Highlander...
It's got to be 3, right? 3, then 2.
2 because it's so ridiculous, then 3, then 5.
Wow.
There's a 5.
Okay, right, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. What are we talking about? RoboCop. There we go. Anyway, the point is...
RoboCop.
The point is RoboCop, I think. And then there was a RoboCop cartoon series called Alpha Commando, which I don't think had anything to do with anything.
Okay.
It didn't have any support cast. It didn't have any support cast, like, from any of the TV series or anything like that, or the movies or anything. And he never took his mask off, so...
Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah. Pretty great.
I don't know. Yeah. So basically, I mean, that comes from hearing all this.
Yes.
And from hearing this magical journey that is RoboCop.
Into the toilet. A magical journey into the toilet, sure.
Then I think you're very much right in saying that we are lucky to be getting this.
Absolutely
RoboCop.
We are, yeah.
I mean, it's...
This is a franchise that's been driven into the ground.
That's
more
it.
Than once.
More than once. I mean, I don't want to preempt the movie. And I have said before that I think it could very well be okay.
Uh-huh.
And we have those tickets, so...
Yeah.
We've sold
so
out.
So it's going to be great, yeah.
That we probably can't even use.
Right.
But... Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be okay. In an ideal world, this will be the best movie ever made. This will be the Highlander 4 of RoboCop
movies. Absolutely it will.
Well, it is the fourth RoboCop movie.
RoboCop 4.
Yeah. Mm. There you go. I mean, Joel Kinnaman, who's the main guy, he's in The Killing, and he's great. Gary Oldman's great. Who else is in it?
Samuel L. Jackson. Gives it his all.
Gives it his all. Great wig.
Yeah.
Abby Cornish, Australian actor.
Mm-hmm.
Right, probably good. She's good and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Michael Keaton, great.
Michael Keaton's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, the guy who's Rorschach, whatever his name is.
Oh, I was going to say Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel
that
Osment.
That is very incorrect.
Haley Joel Osment plays Junior RoboCop.
Yep. He's finally got that kid sidekick we've always been demanding. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Jackie
Earle Haley.
Thank you. There you go. Well, I was going to say about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah?
That he was in the last Mortal Kombat.
He was in that game.
Yeah. And
no.
People always, they're like, oh, these fatalities, they're a bit upsetting, aren't they? All you fatality, all these. That's not super disturbing. The violence isn't super disturbing. It's the fact that there's a playable character in that game who's a child molester. Like when he was alive. We can edit that out.
No, we don't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, that's all. That's RoboCop for this week and the podcast.
Yeah.
Unless you have any more RoboCop?
RoboCop, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just get out there. Get some Robocop India.
Yeah.
I think we might do a DC animated one next week.
Okay, cool.
Because Justice League War is out.
Excellent.
Have you seen it?
No, I'll get to it then.
Get to it. And we'll talk about all the other ones that are, I don't know, mate, we've probably got a bit of watching to do this week.
Ooh.
After we get through all the Robocop that we have to watch now. Right?
Yeah,
we have to watch, I don't know.
That's the rule, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Fantastic.
That's the show for this week. Thank you to Gabriel Bruton for the theme.
Absolutely, the
Bruce. Love it every time. If you want to hit us up, please do so at Weekly Planet Pod on Gmail, Twitter, Facebook.
Mm.
Mason's is at Wikipedia Brown.
Correct.
Ask him Robocop.
Yeah, absolutely,
just,
do that.
Just tweet him Robocop question mark.
Somebody added me and it just says, who is Robocop? I didn't know how to answer. I just had to leave it.
Did that really happen?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies. I replied.
I'm sorry, it was what is Robocop?
You're not going to respond?
Never.
Okay.
Never ever.
Yeah, mine is Mr. Sunday Movies. Hit us up with any questions you have, comments, rate us on iTunes.
Any ideas for the show you want us to
Absolutely.
Talk about something in particular?
Yep, we will talk about that particular thing. So next week, animated, week after
like
that.
How much Indiana Jones sucks. How about that? He doesn't, it's good.
Yeah, he's great.
No death threats, please.
Week after that, we'll do the Robocop. And, you know, with all the news and whatever that happens
Absolutely.
During the week.
Then
death.
Well, that comes to us all eventually,
doesn't it?
It does,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty great.
Pretty great. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.